You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. Consider this. If 2 years ago I had breathlessly reported good news, oil settling at $92 a barrel, someone would have quietly come into the studio and ushered me away to a rubber room. $92 a barrel oil, good news? Well, it seems like it today, but in fact, it's much more complicated than that. What we've seen in the last year on oil prices is that oil, once a bellwether of the surging economies of Asia, India, and China, became a safe haven for billions of dollars of capitalist traders looking for a place to park their money where it would be insured to have a profit. Now, with oil down at $92 a barrel, it's actually down about $2 or more today, the oil price is a bellwether of the declining global economy. Joining us to discuss who benefits from this and what is actually going on is John Authors. He's a global investment editor for the Financial Times. John, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
First of all, $92 a barrel oil is good news on the one hand, but it is a sign of the recession on the other hand. How would you describe this, a positive development or an alarming one?
From the point of view of the American consumer and from the point of view of trying to get the U.S. through this year without lapsing into an unambiguous recession, then plainly it's positive news. You can already see measures of consumer confidence jumping up that have come through in the first few weeks since the oil price started to come down in mid-July. Beyond that, however, obviously there's very few ways in which it's truly positive, because it's still at the kind of levels where it would appear to be a serious break on economic growth. The fact that it went up as far as 150 doesn't alter the fact that, as you were sort of saying in your introduction, a year ago, 92 would have seemed pretty horrific. And secondly, as you were saying, the reason it's coming down so sharply is that after a few months of mania in the market, that what we were concerned about, what we should be concerned about, was global inflation, global stagflation, even caused by the growing demand in Asia. Now there is perhaps an overreaction in the other direction, that what we should be really concerned about, given the problems on Wall Street, is a global contraction, a global serious recession.
Well, let's talk about the steepness of the decline. Mm. How badly does that hurt countries which have really made a big bet on a higher price of oil, maybe even as high as 150 or beyond, say Russia and Brazil, who export oil?
Well, they don't have much choice in the matter in terms of betting on it. They've got a lot of oil there. In both of those countries, you've seen quite remarkable declines in their stock market. In dollar terms, the main Russian index is down almost 50% from only a few months ago.
50%? That's amazing.
And Brazil, which had been the greatest poster child of them all, a very, very popular emerging market, which obviously doesn't have some of the political connotations that Russia has, the last time I checked before leaving the office, I think it was about 34-35% again in about 2 or 3 months.
34-35%. Now, Brazil is very much represented in global hedge funds around the world, so that's definitely having a ripple effect.
Well, and Russia was too. Russia was a very popular trade. The other way you can see this is in what's happened to their currencies. Because obviously, if you've got lots of oil, you get paid for oil in dollars, and then you sell those dollars to get your own currency back. If you're a big oil exporter, that will strengthen your currency, and you've seen the Brazilian real and the Russian ruble have both tumbled quite dramatically. If you look at it in a graph, the overlap with what's happened to the oil price is almost total. So there are much bigger losers from this. The U.S. in many ways is a winner from this. The unambiguous losers are the big oil exporters.
Let's talk about the dollar for a moment. You mentioned currency in Brazil and Russia, but what is the impact on the dollar? The trends that we were talking about as recently as just two months ago seem to have vanished. Now we've got something else going on. What is it?
Well, and we've had a trend. We had a trend which went on for a long time. I'm careful about talking about it in the past tense, because I think we might see it reappear for the dollar inexorably to weaken. well-known phenomenon. I'm not going to go into all the various reasons to do with America's indebtedness that were behind how that happened. I think you can certainly argue that that became somewhat overdone in the first half of this year. Again, you're in crisis conditions in the credit market. Money just it flows excessively to wherever people think there might be a profit, and you had a remarkable correlation built up between the dollar and the oil price. Whenever the oil price went up, then the dollar had to weaken further.
And now that's split.
And then you saw it turned on a dime on July the 14th and July the 15th, and remarkably, given the crisis we had over the weekend in Wall Street, that the new trend that oil falls while the dollar gains together is still in surprisingly good shape. The dollar did weaken after what happened over the weekend, which is very difficult to see how it couldn't, but it only weakened about, depending on which currency you're looking at, only weakened between 2 and 3%, having gained between 10 and 12% in a matter of weeks before that.
Well, John, authors trying to find a silver lining to what's going on Wall Street, I guess the fair takeaway is American consumers, it's positive oil prices declining. I'm not crazy, but for countries like Russia and Brazil, definitely not a positive, and as far as a global deflation is concerned, that is something of serious concern. John Authors, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
John Authors is global investment editor for the Financial Times. He spoke with us from New York, where he's getting ready for the Wall Street Day.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.